Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebelt. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Welcome back. This is the second part of building your own product. This week, we're going to cover market validation. So how to figure out if there is actually a need for what we made and how to get traffic to this product that we made. Last week, we spoke about sourcing. So how to get the prototype, how to pick the right manufacturer, how to qualify the suppliers. So we went over the whole beginning stage. So if you haven't listened to that yet, I would recommend going back. But let's get into it.
Once you get that sample, you're good to go. Let's say you're on your almost pre-production version. You can just do some photos, do some videos. And the next thing is that, all right, how do you get people to buy this? And basically, the basic things you'll need is a photo, preferably a video. Ideally, you would have thought this through in the sense that, like, hey, this is product, here's the problem it solves, and here's who I'm going to target. Because if you kind of just make something randomly and then hope it hits, you probably waste a lot of time.
So what sort of video are you talking about?
Just a basic video of how this product works. So the first one I did was a passport holder. I got it. I just made a quick video with my phone. I was like, hey, here's where you put the passport. Here are the cards you can put. Here are different types of currencies it fits. Here's what it looks like. And then if you want it, hey, it's like $47. And then here's the PayPal. And then see what comes back.
So did you create a website? Did you have a store with a pre-order thing on it? Did you do it on someone else's platform?
No, I had a pre-sales page through a platform called Celery. It's kind of like one of those VC startups. So this was like 3 years ago, so there's a lot more better platforms now. You could even just use a PayPal link on a WordPress site. And then I just want to get an idea of what people are kind of giving you feedback and if anyone's willing even to pay money for this too.
What platforms are there out there now that people can use?
You could just go with, a simple WooCommerce. You can do, I'd use Celery, Squarespace can do it, any WordPress site. Yeah, basically the quickest ones are like those one page. There's a bunch of like LaunchRock. They have like these one page kind of websites you can use and anything that you can just hack together.
But even if someone throws that up, let's say they throw up a WordPress site, the PayPal button, and the video, but no one comes to the website. So let's talk about the traffic. How do you get the traffic to it?
Yeah, first part is just I started with family and friends. So I went to the DC, my old coworkers, friends from college, friends from high school, and then just kind of just hit the pavement there. Now, so it depends if you have one, if you want to throw paid traffic at this, whether it's Facebook ads or whatever. I don't know what the right way to do it is because it depends on everyone's budget, but usually family and friends is where you start off with this if your product is made for them. The other way to do it is if you can do a few samples, if you do like a run of 20 to 30, somehow squeeze out, you can try to give some to bloggers because they always want free stuff. And if you can get some traffic there, they can do a review and then link to your pre-sales page. It's kind of a way to do it too.
What's your magic formula for the next product? What are you going to do?
I don't think there is a magic formula.
Terry, you have to have a magic formula.
Dude, if I had that, I'd be building rockets and, electric cars. Right?
No, you would still be making like different versions of the wallet, but you would just validate them much quicker and sell them.
Well, but like, I think every product, I think you start out with an idea of what it's going to be like, and then the market always gives you some different feedback, and it's just kind of like a jiu-jitsu thing you got to do with the product market fit, I think.
I still feel like we haven't really addressed this because, someone creates a wallet, right?
Yeah.
And it shows it to family and friends. And it depends on the type of network you have, but your friends probably like, yeah, man, that's cool. I'll buy it when it's out. And your family's always supportive. But then what next? You get a couple friends to say yes, they never paid, and then your family maybe buys three because they feel bad for you. But I don't think that's a validation. I don't think that really validates the product because family and friends, it depends on the type of friends you have. If they'll be honest with you, right? But a lot of them will just say, like, yeah, man, good job. Keep making those wallets, Terry.
Yeah, well, then you got to just pound the pavement. Go to bloggers, things like that. Maybe try Kickstarter, but that's a whole different topic that you've covered before with someone else, too.
I did, and Kickstarter is...
wallets did really well, I think, between 2010 and 2012. Now it's all about watches, a platform. But in the end, it depends, like, how can you find that right audience to target too.
I just feel like the Kickstarter is like such a different skill set that you need to learn on top of it. And then that's why I was hoping you'd say something like Facebook ads or something that's maybe working quicker for people.
Yeah, well, if you want to target people right away, Facebook ads probably is the quickest just because of the targeting you can do. But the other thing is like people aren't on Facebook buying too. They're not in like a buying cycle. So like the time it takes to kind of build that up may take a while too. And I don't really know Facebook ads either, so I'm not the right person to ask about that.
Yeah, okay. So how many would you need to have pre-sold before you went to get, I don't know, you said 200 or 1,000 copies made?
Yeah, so my first sample I sold at 47 and I sold, I think, 52 units or so. So I got about like 2K from that, and that just paid for the first run, essentially.
But what's the minimum on a new product? Let's say if you were validating something now, like what's the minimum you would need to have pre-sold?
Some suppliers will let you order under 20, usually 20. Under 20, you'll pay a really high price, but some of them is 100, if not like 200. So if you're making like keychains, you're going to have to buy like 100 because it's a waste of time for them to make anything under that, right? But if you're making like, I don't know, something else like a barbell or something, then you can get away with a little bit less. Like it depends on what you're making. Like there's no uniform rule because every product is different. And like if you're making clothes, I have no idea how to make clothes. So I don't know what the minimums are either. Or if you're making slippers, or if you're making like, I don't know, batteries, things like that. So like small time things, I think 100 MOQ is a good ballpark usually.
Okay. The reason I'm saying is because if, let's say, I'm aiming for 100 and I think that's how many I need to pay for the next order, but I get maybe 32. Maybe it'd be just easier to give the money back if I can't get any more. Then put all my extra money into it. Because I don't know if that really validated anything, because I didn't hit the number I wanted to. Even, let's say, I didn't even make the 100 yet, and I created 5.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get people to pre-buy them so that I get them made, to see if they even validate, right? Because I'm trying to validate this idea. And the only way I feel like I'm validating something is if people start throwing money at it.
Yeah. So then it becomes what number do you feel comfortable with putting in that order at the certain level?
Yeah. So tell me, Terry.
Well, I don't know if there's a right answer. I mean, like, certainly you would want like 1,000 people if that was possible, right? And at some point, you're going to have to just take a bet, like, all right, I guess there's enough traction here. Someone's telling their friends about it, and let's just throw money at this and see what happens, too. So the thing is, like, physical products, it's not like you kind of need to have some money to kind of experiment with this, whether that's anywhere from like, you know, $500 to like $2,000. To kind of make a first sample and to actually get like a small batch run going, if this is what you're going to do too. So if you're like really on a shoestring budget, this is probably what you probably shouldn't be doing this.
That's a different thing. I think the shoestring budget is one thing, but I guess offsetting your risk as much as possible is another.
Yeah.
Right. So let's say I do got the $2,000-$5,000, which that's not a problem. But I created one item so far, one prototype.
Yeah.
I made the video. And should I put the pre-order website up now, or should I put it up after I get at least 100 in of that item?
You should put it up first. You should always get the money first whenever you can.
Yeah, so let's say I put that up, and I know, because I counted it, I need 200 sold to get the 1,000. And the 1,000 is a minimum, right? That's what the company said, the supplier.
Yeah.
But only 89 bought. And there's, you know, but I need, let's say, 200 sold or something, or, you know, 100. There's so
you're talking about if you're in the middle.
Yeah.
Like you got a little bit of validation, but not complete. And that's a tough situation. And
life is all about tough situations. So that's why I'm addressing this one.
Yeah, that's tricky one. I mean, on one hand, it's like there's also the thing because it's like, did you make the wrong product that no one wants, or is your marketing off? And that's a really gray area where I don't think there's a clear cut answer. And maybe you just need to experiment more. And I don't know, it's a tough question that I don't think I have an answer to. Because on some hand, you could just go through with it, and over time, the word of mouth spreads, right? Because there's a guy at Whipping Post. He does, I think, like 600K a year. In his first year, he didn't make shit. But now he's doing 600K a year, and he's doing wallets, you know, messenger bags, things like that. So it's like, you know, there's a kind of longer lead rate. Like, you always hear these like kind of overnight stories, but a lot of people I know.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, maybe one out of like 1,000.
But it wasn't overnight.
But most of the store owners I know, like the first 1 or 2 years. No, it was a long slog, really, too.
Maybe it was the first time I create a product and it's an overnight success, but there's going to be a lot. Maybe I had 5 years in marketing experience. Right. Or maybe I worked with suppliers for 5 years. Yeah, there's no such thing as overnight. And I just feel like if someone does get into it, there are going to be a lot of these type of situations.
Yeah.
How many times are you going to sell 100 out of 100 if that's your goal?
No, not. And especially if you've never done physical products before, you're essentially learning a new skill set from ground zero. So to think that you're going to nail it the first time, maybe you can, but there's going to be a learning curve. And you're probably going to get fucked a couple of times doing stupid mistakes too. And it's just part of the way.
And that's why I'm trying to figure out. So let's say I got to sell 100. Like, how many do I need to get to where I should kind of be like, you know what? Maybe something else is off. Is it 50 sold? Is it 75? Is it 25? Like, where would you say, you know what? This is enough where I'm going to pull the trigger on this. What's the number?
One thing I look for is that, are people giving you money that you haven't asked them to? In terms of, like, if someone just heard about it and then gave you money, if it's like a complete stranger versus someone you like really hit them over the head and got them to buy. If you're seeing more of those signals, I would probably lean towards just going with it. And if you had the risk tolerance for that, because if there are complete people who you don't know giving you money and you're seeing a good chunk of them, like say, you know, half or more of the people, I think that's kind of a good sign that you just kind of need to go that direction. Because if it's all people you know, that's kind of dangerous too, because like you said, you probably validated something that only your friends want to help you because they like you, right? Whereas if there's someone you don't know on the internet somewhere that gave you $50, $100, you're kind of like, okay, that may be something to keep pushing. The thing is, like, is how many of those people can you reach and within the right time frame to make this work? That's a wild card that I don't have the answer to, because it could take 1 year, it could take 3 years, like, I don't know, or you may take 2 months.
So how do you market things when you want to get out of that friends and family circle? Do you go heavy on social media? Do you go for pay-per-click? What do you do?
Yeah, so I do guest posts on these old iBanker blogs and some finance blogs and a couple of fashion blogs. With fashion blogs, they tend to be hit or miss too. So basically just guest posting on the people getting eyeballs to you. And every time I post, I always make sales there. So I know the editor pretty well. I don't know if that's the right channel for everyone. Some people might have Facebook ads, AdWords, things like that, or maybe just even on Amazon too. So it's got to find a channel that works for you. And a lot of times when you have a new product, you'll have to just try a bunch of angles in the sense of like, hey, let's try some Facebook ads. Let's try some of this stuff. And then you see what hits. And then you'll see what hits if people from that channel are buying from you or joining your email list or whatever.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but for Amazon, because I think a lot of people perked up when they heard that, you need a minimum batch on hand before you can sell through them.
Unless you do FBA, you don't need to send the stock to them. So you could just sell on Amazon with like 10 or 20 units. It's just that you'll have to mail it yourself, go to the post office, but hey, you can at least list it. The only thing is you don't get the FBA eligible thing, and that does kind of ruin your conversion a little bit, but if you're just testing something out, you know, that's more than enough to get listed on there.
What is that FBA?
FBA is called Fulfillment by Amazon, which means if you order something on Amazon, sometimes there's an Amazon Prime logo you see on there. That means the supplier sent that product to Amazon's warehouse and Amazon will mail it to you. Most of the times when Amazon first started out, it was like, hey, I have these 10 iPad cases in my living room. I'm going to list on Amazon. If someone buys it, then I'll go to the post office and send it. And basically Amazon does this for you now. And then they take a huge cut, because they make a ton of money off this. And usually those FBA listings, they're higher in the rankings, and Amazon kind of pushes that more towards the buyers too. So you do get better rankings and conversions if you do FBA.
So if you're not FBA, you'll be one of those outside sellers, the sellers on the bottom of the list.
If your market, no one else is doing FBA and you do it, you could probably just could capture that. But the thing is, like, there's so many items on Amazon, it's just impossible to say whether you should or you shouldn't. And some items probably don't work, like surfboards, for example, don't really work with FBA because the products are so big and they're so expensive to ship, and the margins are just crap too. So in the end, it does depend what kind of product you choose.
Let's move on. Let's say we did validate this and we've got the first... Well, no, we haven't yet. How do we get that the mass sourcing done? Because I think you told me that that should be the last part, and it's not always going to be the original supplier. That's it for this week. Next week, we're going to go into the last part, and it's the longest part. So we're going to cover mass sourcing, distribution, and customs. Hope you enjoyed, and come back next week.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.